Hello, internet. Yeah, we can still say hello to the internet.
Sure.
Sure.
But
this is kind of weird, anyway.
It's a slightly different internet.
It's a time delayed internet.
Yes.
It's an internet when they choose to hear us.
Except for most of our listeners, which is, nope, it's about the same.
Yeah. The four people that used to listen live will be disappointed, I'm sure. But
we'll miss you.
Yeah.
We'll miss your calls, but, you know.
By the way, I'm sitting in the chat room and it is Deadsville because nobody's listening to anything.
Yeah, because nobody's there. Oh, is the chat still working?
Yeah.
We should maybe use that.
For what?
I don't know. To chat amongst ourselves.
Oh,
we can send
to
each other
share
links.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or we could use this thing called our voices.
What? Crazy.
Oh, by the way, so are we still theme songless?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It makes me sad.
Hey, I can my IRC is not working.
Well,
operator error. Rank incompetence.
Yeah, that must be it.
Yo, bro, do you even IRC?
There we go. It just took a second.
Look at that, and you're all off.
Yeah, the chat is still there. Look at that. But it's just us. It's kind of sad and weird.
Wait,
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I'm talking to no one, even though I'm talking to you guys. No offense.
You're talking to the Skype hiss.
Yeah, I kind of am.
Talking to the great void. Talking to the great beyond. And talking to all of our
actually,
hundreds of thousands of listeners.
Actually, for those of you listening, there's a hiss on the Skype, and it's Skype. It's not us, because...
Don't worry. Alan has promised to fix it in post.
No, actually, I haven't. But the problem is that there's a lot of problem with the... everyone's. There's a lot of people bitching about the noise on Skype, so it's not just us.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
Who's that comedian who's like, you're sitting up in the sky, and...
Oh, yeah.
I think that's Dane Cook.
It's a redhead guy. I can't remember his name. He has red hair. And you're sitting up in the sky and you're flying and everything is terrible, or, you know, something. You're basically living in the future and people are complaining about a hiss.
Yeah. No, the Dane Cook one I was thinking about was talking about hearing someone bitch about getting stuck on the runway for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, and then what happens? Did you fly through the air like a bird?
Yeah, it's like that.
Yes.
Did you then encounter a miracle of science?
Yeah. I mean, here we are, right? You know, three people from all across the country, and we're talking to each other. And I'm sure there's millions of other people talking to each other on Skype at this same moment. And everybody's online complaining about a little hiss on the line.
Yeah, but you remember when phone companies used to advertised about how quiet their calls were. You could hear, one of them even said, like, you could hear a pin drop.
Pin drop.
That was, I think that was AT&T.
No,
I think it was Sprint.
Yeah.
Sprint.
Sprint was the pin drop.
Yeah.
Because everybody else was using, that was back before the transition to digital. You made me get all phone nerdy.
Oh, okay. Have either of you made international calls, like, back in the 70s or 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that was crazy.
Because
there's that long delay.
Yeah, because it was going over satellite.
Yeah, and then you had to shout at each other.
Yeah.
Over the line. And I remember, every conversation I had with Ireland when I was a kid, it was, you know, you're shouting at each other over the line and, you know, paying, like, so much money to call long distance. And then there's the long delay. And now, I mean, it's just like I don't even think they charge you extra anymore to call overseas. You just call. It's like magic.
I mean, the last few times that I've talked overseas has just been, like, over Skype or all that stuff, where it's just one of those, it doesn't fucking care.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And it works just as well as if they're in the next room.
And they still have a hiss, right?
See, I'm not the audiophile. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I don't either.
I've got Alan on this one. I've got Sean on the other podcast. All of them talking about these things that I neither can comprehend nor realize is there.
Right. Just.
Yeah.
And in the end, people just want to hear our witticisms and political observations.
Yeah, you know, and that's the funny thing is most people don't give a shit about the audio quality. As long as they can hear your voice and they can understand what you're saying, that's all they care about.
Yeah.
So anyway, whatever.
And they want to hear cat. They want to hear cat fights in the background.
Yeah. actually, you may hear cats in two of our houses tonight. Amy has taken to jumping up on the back of my chair and meowing in my ear as she rubs on my head. So.
My cats are asleep.
That'll work.
This is a good time to mention that now that we are freed from the time constraints, we could be recording at any time.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's 8 o'clock, you know, a little after 8 now, so all my cats are still asleep. They're not looking for their dinner, so there's no yet. They'll probably start, but
they will.
Yeah, we could record at any time, which is kind of nice. And the only reason we were recording at 9 p.m. Eastern was so that we could have live callers on the West Coast,
right?
You know,
because that was 6 o'clock West Coast, which is about the earliest you could really reasonably expect somebody to.
Yeah.
Be able to listen and call.
Still, it's kind of dinner time. Still.
Well, that's
depends on what people. There's all those people that do the. What time do you guys eat dinner?
Usually between 6 and 7.
What about you, Alan?
Whenever I get hungry.
Yeah.
The man who lives alone.
Yep.
Yeah, we're a little earlier. We're like between 5 and 6.
Oh, is that because of the baby or no?
Definitely because of her. Because It was tubby time tonight, so definitely tubby. The bath needs to get drawn at 6:30 because otherwise things could get very, very ugly. But yeah, she's usually like fast asleep by 8.
Nice.
And so like you're reading her stories by like 7:30. So yeah, you need to get shit going. Plus, I mean, she's usually starving around like 4:30, 4:45. Like half the time I'm cooking dinner and she's just eating all the ingredients like out from under me.
Yeah, I don't, I think when I was a kid, we ate at like 6 or 6:30 or whatever.
Yeah. When I was a kid, it was 6:30 on the dot. The table was set. Everybody's at the table. Mom has dinner. And if you miss it, you miss it. That's it. So,
Oh, Brita, speaking of food, I think we both need to talk about ribs. And see if the Texan gets angry.
Oh, yeah. I feel bad because my ribs. I can make really good ribs myself, but I was really lazy today and I didn't have a whole lot of time. And
do you make them in your smoker?
Sometimes we make them in the smoker, but usually I slow cook them in the oven and then finish them on the grill.
I got you.
And they're really good that way. And, you know, you get them nice and tender and then you caramelize them like on the grill. But tonight I had ribs from Aldi's that everybody like I know has been, I don't know if Aldi's apparently is not nationwide, but it's kind of like a discount generic food place. And everybody I know has been raving about these ribs. In fact, my coworker, her husband brought these ribs to like a kind of a family rib cook-off. And he cheated, but he won the cook-off with these ribs. And I can see why. They were perfect and delicious and covered in sauce. They were really good.
Did he recuse himself at the end?
I don't think so. I think he stuck with it.
Oh, no shit. Wow. I don't feel
like that's some that's balls
not,
there.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the cook-off equivalent of date rape right there.
Yeah. That ain't right.
I don't know what he won, but yeah, he won the contest.
Like, it would be really awesome to like totally sit there deadpan all the way up until, and when he wins, go, ha, 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 ha. All right, who's second place?
That's like,
yeah, no, I totally bought this. Yeah.
That's like showing up at the school bake sale with store-bought cookies.
That's just.
Though at the same time, it does prove a very interesting point because again, I made my own barbecue sauce once.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one of those. I had some, I had made a pork with like a pork roast with like a barbecue glaze on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saved the pan drippings from the slow cooker. And then I went, but what the fuck am I going to do with these pandrabis? Because they're already got barbecue seasonings in them. So it's kind of not, you know, it's kind of not fair. And I went, oh, well, I'll see if I can make barbecue sauce up. And I found a barbecue sauce recipe that uses stock. And so went through and made it all up and all that. And it came out like really good, but not that much better than like the good quality stuff that you can buy at the grocery store. So it's one of those like, it was like 45 minutes worth of work for.
Right. Is it worth the work?
Nope. Not at all. Yeah.
You know what I really love? And it's one of the simplest things in the world. And actually, I should probably talk about this. I wanted to mention because as we're going forward with the score report, because we can't rely on callers anymore. And, you know, I think it's important that we all talk topics to talk about. And since doing the score report and working in the recipe section, I got more emails and more comments from people about give us more recipes. And simple recipes like, you know, the two ingredient thing and, you know, the crock pot stuff. So I wanted to tell everybody about my favorite ribs, which are very simple and delicious, and it's beef ribs. And I'm sure you've had beef ribs. Weird, right?
I've actually been almost, with the exception of tonight, which I got some baby backs, pork baby backs. I've almost been exclusively working with beef back ribs, and my wife and my daughter are insane for them.
Yes, they are so simple and so delicious, and all I do really is I just put like a rub on it, salt and pepper and some spices, and I put them in the oven on really, really low temperature, and I cook them for a very long time. And the meat is, I mean, it's beef, and it's rich beef. It's not dry. I mean, it's got fat on it, and it just falls off the bone. It's delicious. And I love it paired with sauerkraut because the sauerkraut kind of cuts the richness of the meat. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the perfect thing. Well, so there you go. Get some beef ribs and put a rub on them and put them in the oven and cook them low and slow.
A step easier is what I do. My rub is I actually use for my beef ribs. I use the McCormick grill seasoning, Montreal steak.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Yeah, that is like perfect for that. I do that. And then actually I do them 4 hours in a little tinfoil pouch with just the rub on it.
Yes.
And then I pull the top layer of tinfoil off and it's like 250 degrees.
Yeah.
And then after 4 hours, after 3 hours, I pull the top off and then I put a little bit of barbecue sauce on them and then I throw them back under with no cover.
Nice.
And let that barbecue sauce get all browned up.
Yep.
So yeah,
and it's pretty good. And as a bonus, usually beef ribs are cheaper than pork ribs. I find them at Walmart all the time, like packs and packs of beef ribs, and they're always way cheaper than pork ribs, especially cheaper than baby backs.
Yeah, I just do the marked down, like just whichever one they're getting rid of.
Yeah. So if anybody has not tried beef ribs, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's very, very good. Like, I don't know. I don't know how I'd had them before. I've had some like beef ribs that were not as good. I know I think I've cooked them on the grill before and they suck on the grill.
Yeah. You have to cook them slow, I think. Really slow and low temperature.
Really slow. And I think they need the moisture too. I think they need to be in an enclosed area so you could do them. I think I've done them in a slow cooker and they come out good in the slow cooker. Not the same kind of good. They come out better, I think, in the oven, but in a slow cooker, they will work.
Now I'm hungry again. this is my day after going to the gym day, and I'm always ravenous. So, yeah. I was eating beef jerky at work today, like at 10 a.m. because I was starving.
Beef jerky at work. I'm a fan of their earlier album. Their first album was good. The self-titled.
Beef jerky at work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's up with you guys?
We're doing the score report again. Got the band back together.
Yeah.
Wait, except for Jay.
Well, yeah. Supposedly Jay is on business.
He might be chiming in, but at this stage, I don't know if he will.
Well, since he's not here, let's bitch about the NRA for a minute.
Okay. Let's bitch about the NRA.
Yay.
because it's, you know, they did well. Actually, I don't. This is not necessarily the NRA.
It's NRA related
organization that's at fault here directly. I think it's the NRA community members kind of a thing. There was a there's a feminist rag called, was it Jezebel?
I think it was on Jezebel, yeah.
Where they were complaining about somebody, an exhibitor at the NRA convention in Louisville, advertised for basically two booth babes, right? They said, you know, must be size 4 or less and basically pretty and
send us recent photos.
Right. Send us pictures, no tattoos or weird piercings or
you have to be under size 4.
Right. Yeah. And so I mean basically it's, you know, it's a booth babe.
Yep.
And it said for, they didn't say who the company was or who the exhibitor was, but they did say it was for the NRA annual meeting in Louisville for the, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that the job would be to greet people at the booth, give them, I guess, handouts and stuff and chat for a few minutes. And
booth babe stuff.
Yeah, booth babe stuff. So yes. I've been to a few conventions or been to a few annual meetings. They don't call them conventions. It's the NRA annual meeting. And y'all have been to a few. And
yep.
My experience, the few booths that actually have booth babes, for the most part, are tangential to gun stuff. I don't remember any actual gun companies or anybody,
I think,
directly that had
first
guns.
Year we did it back in, I think that was the like 6 years ago. Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I think that was like, it seems like every year that I had been, and of course I've taken 2 years off, there seems to have always been like less booth babes and less booth babes and less booth babes. And right. There were a couple gun makers, I think, because I do remember seeing a very obvious model, like heavily made up, very, very well dressed, you know, the ridiculous, you know, walking posture, like definitely looked like it was a very, very rehearsed walk as she was walking around the booth area. And she was holding an AR-15 like it was a live snake. And that was finger very clearly, like, actually wasn't even indexed on the frame. Like it was like jutted out and away from the frame at a 45.
Like she's holding a cup of tea.
Like she's holding a cup of tea.
Somebody
exactly.
Told her don't touch the trigger.
Exactly. And so, and yeah, that, they had to have been, well, I mean, they might've been accessories again. It was a fucking booth babe, and the booth babe has the exact opposite reaction on me as, oh, look, there's a booth babe. Oh, look, there's someplace else to go.
Right. And see, that's my experience, is the people at the NRA convention. Now, you, it's obvious that the NRA is in transition.
Yes.
The demographics are changing. The demographics of gun ownership are changing radically, like quicker than anybody can realize, I think. People,
and the rationale of gun ownership. I mean, it's one of those, like, right. Yeah, we had what was that, where the whole board of directors got switched over heavily in what was,
oh yeah, the 72? Cincinnati,
Cincinnati revolt,
Cincinnati revolt in 70 something.
Yeah.
I forget the specific year. It was in the '70s though.
Yeah. But I mean, even then that was definitely kind of the starting point of what is kind of coming to maturity right now is, now you've got, I mean, there's always going to be hunters and there's always going to be gun gamers and there's always going to be, you know, these various like people, you know, the guys that shoot, you know, high power and bullseye slow fire and all these like, you know, Olympic style stuff and the trap and skeet guys and the duck guys and the deer guys, blah, 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 blah. But that group is, I mean, of course, I mean, hunting's such a pain in the ass. I mean, and it's just getting even worse with like urban sprawl and just all these like goofy permitting and requirements and just extra stuff thrown on to hunting regulations.
Right.
And all that. So now, and of course, now also gun ownership is becoming way more mainstream than ever before. And so now it's going heavily into the urban and suburban areas. So now you've got people that are into it for self-defense and like target shooting and maybe, you know, action shooting if they're going to engage in any of the sports. And so because of that, and because it's such a huge move, and again, once you move it into like a new area, once, you know, somebody on your block becomes a shooter, well, they're, you know, your friends are going to find out that you're a shooter and you're going to tell them about shooting and you're going to take them to the range. And a certain percentage of those people are going to want to start shooting. And so it kind of creates kind of an exponential growth curve, which I think we're very clearly seeing with like, you still can't fucking buy 22 anymore.
Right.
And, oh God, it used to be fun to shoot 22s. It used to be so much fun to shoot 22s. Now it's not.
Now every time you shoot a bullet that you're in the back of your head going, that's one I'm not going to replace.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good side is it's now fun to shoot 9mm. Like now 9mm is as fun to shoot as 22.
9mm is the new 22. Yeah.
9mm is 9mm and 38 special wad cutter is like the new 22. But the, so now you've got all these people that are, because that's like one of the big arguments. And actually just, you know, kind of actually a side note, I just finished watching it's coming up on the 20th anniversary of the Port Arthur massacre. And I found this video of it's some Australian talk show where it's all these like key players in the Australian gun thing. If there's like two or three different representatives for various gun groups, like there was a guy that was like a president of a gun club, and there's a guy that's like a hunters and shooters type association, and I think there might have been another pro gun group, but then there was also the prime minister at the time that signed the confiscation order, and you know, some other activists that were anti-gun. And the big thing I had was like coming away from watching this kind of like roundtable discussion on gun control in Australia is Australians are fucked, because the most compelling argument that the pro-gun people were making about why the laws were bad, they did actually make a quick statement about how, and it was never refuted and it was never brought up again, the fact that, you know, the Australian crime rate never got better. It's not like things, you know, things changed a bit.
Of course not.
It got worse. That it did get better. It leveled back off, but that was also as the guns were being replaced. So, and of course, you know, they're one of the big things they're talking about is like now, evidently, since the Chiappa clone of the Winchester 1887 shotgun is starting to be imported heavily into Australia. I guess before it was fairly hard to come by, and Australians aren't allowed to have pump shotguns, but lever guns are okay. And so now that's almost as good as a pump shotgun. And now they're like, oh my God, deadly, horrible. It's a lever action shotgun. But again, the most compelling argument they could make are like farmers are being cost millions of dollars because they can't have proper guns to cull vermin on their in their crops and livestock, and it's one of those like you can't win on that argument. But when it is one of those things of the police are not going to be there. Someone kicked down my door right now. The police are not going to be able to stop them. Like, even if I picked up the phone and dialed 911 right now, that person might do something horrible to me or my family before the 911 call even picks up.
You know, this funny that you bring that up, because I just saw something today on one of my friends' Facebook that in pulling it up here, Southwest Philadelphia police looking for culprits involved in a violent home invasion that involved weapons, violently invaded a home brandishing weapons. So the police did like a no-knock home invasion thing, looking for home invaders, except the police got the wrong house.
Ugh.
So, whoops. Yeah. Good job, buddy. Like, you know, the pizza guy can get the right house.
Again, and just
the UPS idea, can get the right house.
Sometimes
the idea of a no knock is so stupid, especially if they're looking for home invaders. So now they're looking for people. You can't flush a person.
Right.
Right.
Just call up a bunch of officers.
You can't flush guns either.
Yeah. Call up a bunch of officers and have them, you know, have them at like various points around the house.
Yep.
So if someone tries to jump out a back window somewhere or come out the back door or all that, they've got that entrance covered and they can jump on that person. Sort of idea. And then do like everybody else does, is knock on the door. And then if they knock on the door enough times and nobody comes, then they can have the locksmith or whoever, you know, will open the door, and then they can come in and go, police, we're here. Sort of right. idea. Cause again, like even with stuff like drugs where, oh yes, you could flush some weed, but how much fucking weed are you able to flush?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if you're running a grow operation, you're not going to be able to flush a 4-pound, 3-foot tall marijuana plant.
And with honestly, roots and I'm not soil. That concerned about it. Anybody that's got a small enough amount of drugs that they can flush it.
Yeah, no, it's not a big deal.
It's really not. I mean, even if you're talking like heroin and cocaine, it's still not. I mean, in the scheme of things, I mean, you're going to go, okay, you're telling me that one guy that might be trying to shove a kilo down his toilet.
Yep.
That one guy matters, and all the other guys who have just as much, if not more, that you don't know about,
yep,
aren't a problem too. So
we're also getting into the realm of like stupid victimist climb. It's just like, let's quit right. it with the war on drugs.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's anyway, one of those like
back to the whole Jezebel thing. So Jezebel, I mean, I guess rightly so. I mean, they made fun of the Craigslist ad. For the booth babes.
Yep.
Sure.
And you know, which, you know, hell, I made fun of the Craigslist ad for the booth yep. babes, you know. I mean, it's tone in today's, you know, I was telling Brito when we were talking about this before, I said, you know, in today's, if somebody came to me and said, hey, I'm thinking about having some booth babes at my NRA table, I'd be like, oh, no, dude, no.
Yeah, no, don't do it.
Don't do it. And it'd be dude because a woman wouldn't do it in the first place.
No.
But I would counsel them to not do it because it's stupid. I mean, it's just, it's the wrong, you know.
I wonder if the NRA has kind of like guidelines as to what you can do and not do at your booth.
I doubt it.
Really?
Well, I bet they do have guidelines, but I bet it's simply more along the lines of just general codes of conduct and having booth, like, so long as they're not naked or anything like that.
Right.
I think that an exhibitor, is essentially anything that like you and I can do on the floor. I think an exhibitor can do like anything that would get an exhibitor kicked out would get any of us kicked out. So, yeah, no, if I wanted to like, yeah, pull out an iPad and start, you know, playing some hardcore pornography, then yeah, they'll throw me out. And the same thing goes with an exhibitor.
Plus,
but,
it's the NRA annual meeting. It is not the pornography. It's what's the one in Vegas that they have?
Oh, shoot. What is the name of that one?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
It's like the adult film or adult video
awards, like the Oscars.
Yeah, no, during it's like they have it during some.
Big, it is like the Oscars, though.
It's like the adult video awards or something
it's
that.
The AVN awards.
Yeah. So, where they have like, you know, porn stars wearing next to nothing. I mean, it's not that. I mean, if you go to the adult film awards, you know what you're going to get, right?
Right.
If, you know.
Well, apparently, most people, when they think of the NRA meeting, they think booth babes and old coots talking to booth babes.
Well, that's what the commenters on the Jezebel site thought.
You know, the NRA apparently doesn't work to combat that.
They probably didn't even know about it.
Oh, well.
They know about it now. Come on. If they don't know about it now, they're stupid.
But, you know, at the same time, I shouldn't be surprised, right? Because, like, they have Ted Nugent.
I think they have not kicked out Ted Nugent. Well, they technically can't, I don't think. I mean, they probably can.
Yeah.
I haven't read through all the bylaws, but as a general rule,
there's a way to get rid of a director that's misbehaving or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it probably, you know.
They don't.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I actually have to side with the NRA a little bit on the, even if, I mean, first up, I'm going to side against them and pointing out that, yeah, if you think they're aware of it even now, no, they're not.
Yeah. They're probably not.
But the, At least the higher up brass. But at the same time, even if they were perfectly aware of it and loathed it as much as we do, I don't know if there's anything you can really do about it without kind of making it worse.
What do you mean?
I mean, so what would you do to write a regulation about no booth babes? You can't write no booth babes. And then going on of the, what, no hiring any employees that are not active shooter. I'm sure a lot of these people hire extra help, just like completely seasonal sort of thing of just the, oh yeah, no, we'll hire a quick intern. We'll hire a dork that'll just, you know, be there just to run papers and get us food and, you know, do other useful things, you know, help set up the booth. Help tear down the booth sort of idea, sort of thing, just so the upper echelon people of, you know, such and such a gun company who actually know. So when the person says, oh, how do you heat treat this cylinder on this revolver? They can answer versus, you know, just some, you know, booth babe or just runner that's running for them would just not be able to answer at all. Sort of idea. But I mean, how do you regulate against the booth babe? I don't know how you do it because they're not, I mean, they're obscene in what they are is, again, you see somebody who's modeling a firearm who is probably a professional model and obviously does not shoot, does not know about the gun, is not comfortable holding the gun, is obviously mimicking somebody else holding the gun that was like showing them how to hold it. And so this is how they hold it. So they're just very, very stiff. And it's just hollow. But that's it. They're not doing anything wrong. It's not like I've never seen a booth babe like muzzling the crap out of the crowd. I've never seen a booth babe with their finger on the trigger. Like they've been taught and they've obviously listened well enough to know how to properly handle it. It's just, you can tell that they're not a shooter and you know, it's really on the company, not on the NRA. Like any company that's just dumb enough to do that instead of just grabbing everyone from their marketing department and their engineering department and any department and saying, hey man, you want to have a long weekend away from the office?
Yeah, I don't know, but there's a reason there is a reason that companies like that, they don't pick male models.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Right.
Maybe there's a
reason they pick size 4, underage 28.
Although I got a
bubbly,
you know,
personality type.
There is one instance that comes to mind.
I know what you're going to say.
At the Cold Steel booth.
That is not. He's not a model.
Well,
he's not.
I think he qualifies.
Buck Medley is not a model.
I think he qualifies.
To whom does he qualify?
Well, he thinks he is.
Oh, my God.
Did you see him?
I saw him up close.
Yeah, he tried to stab your foot.
No, I resisted stabbing him through the foot when he called me a hobbit. I don't understand. Like, I had a giant sword in my hand, and he calls me names.
Your feet aren't big enough to be a hobbit. Everybody knows that.
And to be fair, the Cold Steel booth is probably the most tone deaf booth in the entire thing. And they have, as far as I know, never have had booth babes.
Yeah, but the Cold Steel is like, it's almost like, I don't know. It's almost
it's like their shtick, really. Yeah.
Oh, they're. I mean, they are the ninja bait company.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are calling all mall ninjas. Here are the 14 different knives that you need to have on your body, plus, you know, plus a spear for hunting pigs.
I like some of their knives.
And Lynn will show you how to use them while unbelievably sweaty.
Yeah. Oh boy.
the videos of Lynn dismembering
innocent, I actually really like those videos.
Trees, it's hilarious.
I like the ones with the pigs because it's just funny. Yeah,
that's good.
It hasn't happened in a little while, but for like the longest time, like I had when he put up like some video on YouTube of like him like talking about firearms and shooting guns, and he just it was sheer incompetence. Like he is absolutely a fantastic blade handler. Like I'm not going to argue with his handling of knives and blades and all that, and what he does in those videos where he's like chopping pigs' heads in half and cutting up like steer carcasses and all that, those are impressive and that is good. But like I remember he was walking rounds onto targets with a Glock and, you know, putting rounds into the dirt and
oh dear.
just doing like all sorts of like terribly unsafe, terribly like legally devastating things and all that. And I just put up kind of just a quick like retort on the what the fuck is he doing with this on my blog. And for years, like his little fanboys would find me and just leave all these like just scathing and like also like completely tone deaf, you know, things of the, they obviously haven't read my blog at all and don't know anything. And they're like trying to like pose like semi veiled, like threats, like they're going to take legal action against me for stating the truth and all that. It's just like one of those, like, oh, go away guys.
Yeah. Oh, can we just get into it right now? Because it's almost 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and get into it.
We still have not talked about our future president.
We're.
You mean God Emperor Trump?
Yes, that's what I mean.
We got the ruler of the wasteland. We got 20 minutes left, give or take.
So. 20 minutes, okay.
Because we got started late because Alan was looking for the white noise. Then he's gonna fix in post. He promised he fixed in post.
I did not.
So Cruz this week, in a desperate attempt to gain some sort of votes that I don't even understand what he's doing.
Right. Can we all like state out that we all like Cruz and we all like Carly?
Yes. Yeah, I like them both.
And I've got to say how Cruz is running his campaign these days is really making it hard for me to continue doing so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He came out this week and he named Carly Fiorina as his running mate, potential vice president. And you know what? I was thinking about this today and I was thinking, you know what? I kind of feel bad for them. Because if this were a year where Donald Trump had decided that he was not going to run for president, they definitely would be the front runners, I feel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Donald Trump is a force of nature.
Yeah. And I think that without Donald Trump, Cruz and Fiorina, I think they would be in as the nominees. Because they would be excellent at this job.
I think if not for Donald Trump, you would have Rubio.
No.
Nope. Or
I totally disagree.
Establishment-y kind of
person. Oh, establishment guy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I kind of think, though, the only reason why Trump is doing so well is he's going against the flow. I think.
Yeah.
I think like the NRA, the Republican Party is in transition. I mean, the good thing about like, even though Cruz, it's impossible for Cruz to get the, I mean, they're all talking about whether or not Trump's going to get the required nominees to avoid a brokered convention. Cruz physically cannot.
No, he can't. Right. His only hope is for Trump to not get enough to win right out.
Yeah. So essentially, the only reason why he's putting on all these fanfares and doing all these things is not so that he can pull ahead of Trump in the polls. He can't.
Right.
He just can't. It is so that he can jazz up the party insiders so that he can steal it from Trump. Mm-hmm. So that Trump can come to the convention with the most number of votes and be the most popular candidate, you know, in the Republican field,
right,
and not win it. I mean, it's right. Very, very similar to what, even though I believe Hillary does have more votes overall, but it's almost neck and neck between Hillary and Bernie when it comes to raw votes, people actually showing up at primaries and pulling the lever for the old stupid commie or the old stupid criminal. And it's almost neck and neck, except for Hillary swoops in and gets all the superdelegates.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernie, I think, has two or three superdelegates to his name. And so because of that, Hillary is like Bernie has no hope. I actually don't know why Bernie's still running.
He just laid off a whole bunch of people from his campaign.
So he's probably getting ready to dump it.
I think so. Prior to Trump getting in the mix, Cruz was seen as the outsider. He was seen as the anti-establishment guy.
Yes. And he really is.
And he really is. And that's why, you know, John Boehner came out today. It was in the news that John Boehner called him what? He's like Lucifer himself. He's the Oh my God, John Boehner, shut up and go away.
He was probably drunk when he said it.
Well, I'm sure he was probably drunk, and he's Twitter buddies with or texting buddies with Trump, and I don't know. But minus Trump, Ted Cruz would have been the guy, I think. I think people would have rallied behind him because they see him, you know. I don't even know. But interesting times, because I think that shit's going to go down on both sides, you know, Democrat and Republican.
Well, I mean, and to be fair, you can't feel super bad about them because, like, a good showing is a good showing. And, I mean, Hillary's going to be the nominee for the Democrat side, and it's one of those statements. You could say the same thing about her, you know, 8 years ago, is if it wasn't for Barack Obama running against her, she would have –
Exactly.
You know, she would have clinched that nomination running away.
Yep,
the difference was Hillary Clinton was, you know, was already starting to lose a lot of steam. And to be fair, I think, you know, people talk about all these, like, very, very tight pairings between, like, if, you know, Hillary versus either, you know, well, I think they've stopped talking about Cruz. I think they're talking about Hillary versus Trump, and they're having it be fairly tight. And I really think the only reason why polls are putting them that tight in a general election together is because the people that are paying attention to Trump are the people that are paying attention to Trump aren't really paying attention to Hillary. It's very much infighting on both sides heavily.
Yeah.
Most of the time the election is kind of playing out even before the convention. It's kind of playing out like it kind of goes over to general election, because by now there's a head and shoulders winner. There's someone who's got the nominee clinched on both sides. And mm-hmm. so therefore they can pretty much start campaigning against the other person and start lining up their cabinet positions and making all the inside deals. Now they can't, because everybody's – I mean, Bernie is really staying close to Hillary, even though there's no reason why he should. He's got no money. He's really an outsider. I mean, he's not even a fucking Democrat.
Right.
Is he going to be the – if he won, would he be the first Democrat nominee for president who's not a Democrat?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
You do not have to be a member of the party to be the nominee of that party.
No, but has it ever happened before?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it as well. But again, so he's not even a Democrat. He's a registered independent, unless he's changed something fairly recently.
No, I don't think so.
You know, he's not even a Democrat. So the fact that he is like keeping up with Hillary is amazing. And then on top of that, you've got Trump. I mean, number one, there was a huge Republican field, and it's just everyone's trying to kill Trump because, I mean, it's just the Republicans, the Republican establishment's trying to shoot him down. The Democrats are trying to shoot him down. The media is doing as much as they can.
I'm not sure the Democrats are trying to shoot him down.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats are trying to soften him up.
The media right now, the media loves Trump because he's – The one thing the media loves is a show.
Eyeballs. Well, yeah, they like want, people to watch. Exactly. So they're playing a lot of Trump. Exactly. Which comes to my I fully believe that people are loving Trump because he's the one who's on TV the most.
Yeah, he's the celebrity.
He's the celebrity. So people are like, yeah, and they hear all of his bullshit on TV.
But
and
the minute the minute it turns into Hillary versus Trump.
They're going to turn on him.
The media is going to turn on Trump like you wouldn't believe.
There is going to be every secret exposed.
Yep. Every
every
horrible thing he's ever done to every woman everywhere.
Yeah.
Every crooked deal he's ever done. He's about to be deposed over his Trump University fraud.
Oh.
In court as a hostile witness. So you know, the only thing that saves him is Hillary's in hot water over her email thing too. So we're gonna have two presidential candidates that are both under investigation for crimes while they're campaigning.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be another media election. I believe that the last two times Barack Obama, you know, part one, part two, the media.
Yeah.
And this time again, the media. So but
still, once you start pairing them off together, I mean, have any of you been following Hillary?
No.
Like, I mean, she's just I don't know if she's a heavy smoker or what, but she's got this like hacking cough that just shows up like constantly, where she'll go into these coughing fits. Like when she does talk, I mean, she sounds like, you know, Bob Dylan or some other, you know, some crazy heavy smoker. Like she's got her voice is getting really, really gravelly. I don't know if it can't be from like lack of speaking, because you got to imagine that she's had voice coaches for that sort of stuff. But I mean, she's really seems like she's fallen apart. And I really think that's going to be tough.
How old is she? She in her 70s yet or? Still in her 60s.
Well, there's a myth out there that you have to sway the independents, and that's not true. In order to win an election in the U.S., you see this over and over again. It's in the statistics. The party who motivates enough of their members to go and vote on election day is the party that wins.
Hmm.
It has nothing to do.
She'll be 69 just before the election, by the way.
Wow. Okay.
So, but it has nothing to do with swaying the middle, right? Because, you know.
Which is probably why Republicans have been losing because
they're not exciting.
And they're not conservatives.
Right.
And it's also kind of like also a big question is like, I mean, we're kind of becoming a low voter turnout. Like it's kind of dorks like us who like go, hey, let's do a podcast where we talk about politics, you know, sort of idea. And there's other people that are talking about football right now on their podcast. And there's people who are listening to those football podcasts.
More people are listening to those than are listening to ours. I guarantee it.
Absolutely true. But the big thing about it is that, all right, so there's dorks like us where we vote like everywhere. I mean, I just went to the local town election the other day. And like voted for like half the people because I'm like, yeah, I don't know who the fuck you are, so I'm not pulling the lever for you. But there's an election, so I'm showing up, and because I like playing a game. It's the part of my mind that doesn't engage sports. I also follow like political campaigns in states that I'm not a resident of because look, this is an interesting matchup. But when it comes down to like, I mean, most people only vote in the general election. So even in the off years, like congressional ballots, those got extremely low turnout because again, it's not the big circus.
Right.
And so you've got like, so, and then you get things like, you know, Barack Obama's second term. It was not a question of who did Barack Obama appeal more to independents? Did Mitt Romney, or, you know, what did he do anything? He didn't even mobilize his base.
Right.
It was Mitt Romney completely failed to mobilize his base. So Republicans stayed home and Barack Obama won. Yep. It's really more of a question of how well can you mobilize your base?
Right. And that's going to be the question of Hillary and, and,
And that's getting, especially with the Bernie Sanders, is like, I mean, number one, his demographic tends to be younger. It tends to be like,
right,
you know, 30 and under. And I say 30 and under because, I mean, everyone talks about the 18 to 25 demographic and nobody fucking votes with that. Like, if Bernie was the nominee, he probably would be polling extremely high in 18 to 25.
Right. And but then they don't vote.
Come election day, even the people that are absolutely apeshit about Bernie, they're going to get too drunk or too high some night and realize or think it's on a Saturday and be like, oh, what? It was on a fucking Tuesday. Who has an election on Tuesday?
Yep.
Everybody. It's always on a Tuesday. But these people are so young that A, they've probably never voted before. And B, just don't even know that, or they'll show up at the ballot and realize that they didn't register. So, right. Oh, I had to do something beforehand. Yeah, sorry, you can't do it. Oh man, what a fucking jam.
Yep.
Sort of idea. I mean, 18-25 demographic never fucking shows up.
Nope.
But above that, once you get the, like 25 to 30, that is a group that shows up, but they're still fairly young and motivated by a lot of young things. And Bernie's got a lot of those people. And I kind of got to wonder unless Bernie gets selected for vice president, I'm wondering if there might be a major. I don't think it is either, though there's a part of me that's like going, Hillary is kind of calculating. She might be smart enough to do that.
But then it would all be
Northeast too. So actually, on the other hand, she'd probably be better off picking somebody from, you know, the West Coast or something further away from New York.
I had a thought about Bernie. Let's just say Bernie Sanders becomes president, right?
Mm-hmm.
Congress is not going to do anything he says. No. Everybody's going to fight him.
If it came down to Bernie Sanders versus Trump, if that was the ticket I was voting for,
yeah.
And again, also note that my beloved Gary Johnson is going to be on the ballot again, and mm-hmm. I'm very curious on how I am actually going to vote because. You know, I just I'll be talking about this come fall. But again, if it was Trump, Johnson, Sanders as my electoral choices, I would vote for Sanders, absolutely. Because the bottom line is, if you can't, and not because I mean, so Gary Johnson isn't going to get elected. So that's given number one. All right. Given number two, neither one of them are good candidates.
Right.
So given number three, when in doubt, this is again why I voted for Gary Johnson, but knew that I was throwing a vote to Obama in the last election, was because when stuck with two terrible choices, the dumber one's always the better choice. Always go for the one that is stupider, because they are more likely to either be so feckless that they don't accomplish anything, or just be stupid and lazy and not want to do anything. And Barack Obama has been both of those things. He's been more interested in going out to eat and going to concerts and stuff like that than to go golfing than to actually do president stuff. And when he does actually get off his ass and try to do president stuff, he fucking sucks at it. So good. I like that. But yeah, and also on top of that, I mean, this is coming from somebody who lived in Maine when Angus King was the governor, and Angus King is very much like Bernie Sanders. He's a liberal Democrat. He caucuses with the Democrats, but he is an independent for whatever friggin' reason. I mean, unlike Bernie Sanders, who's actually a socialist, so, and openly says that he's a socialist, and his voting record says that he's a socialist, and his rhetoric says that he's a socialist. I don't know why Angus King calls himself an independent, unless it must be for just some sort of stupid street cred reason, because probably. He's not different than any other Democrat out there. Like, there's nothing that sets him aside that makes him seem independent-y. He's never sided with Republicans. He's never crossed the aisle. He's never done any of that shit. He's just a Democrat that has an I after his name. Don't get it.
Well, but if we're talking about governors, I need to apologize again for Ohio.
there's a fucking idiot. What the fuck is he sticking around for?
I think he's delusional.
He's going to try to second and third place himself to victory.
He's
I don't know. I'm so sorry.
He's hoping he can be involved in the convention.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as I was saying, Angus King got very little accomplished as governor of Maine because even given everything that I just said about how much a liberal Democrat he is, he's not part of their team. And so they did not want to play ball with him.
That's what I'm hoping for Sanders. Maybe I should vote for Sanders now. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm sitting out.
There isn't a whole lot that the president can do by himself that is like permanently or long-term a problem.
Executive orders.
Yeah, but those can be, you know, those can be changed. It's just, it's, you know.
Oh yeah, all they've got to be is wildly unpopular enough to become a key issue on the next thing. If we got like some sort of like crazy pro-gun candidate, which we don't have, but I mean, or let's say Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is good enough on guns. If we got Rick Perry, who was the fucking best candidate out there, it just didn't even last. But let's say we got Rick Perry elected. Like, I mean, we could get him to like, you know, roll back all of those Clinton and Bush, H.W. Bush executive orders that were anti-gun.
Right.
And just, they'd be gone as soon as he felt like getting rid of them. And that would be the end of it. You get rid of those stupid import bans and the requirement for FFLs to be zoned for commercial, you know, commercial businesses and all that other stuff.
Yep. And then somebody'd come in behind them and change it all.
But that is a good point. Is so many people are getting like so bent out of shape with Trump.
Except there's one thing.
Yep.
Supreme Court nominees.
That's true.
Supreme Court nominees can fuck up for decades.
But to be fair, as Donald Trump is president, I guarantee he would nominate young blondes with big titties.
Or his sister.
Chances are good. Yeah.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, though. And I know for a fact that Bernie Sanders would nominate Supreme Court justices that I would not like.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I'm afraid Trump would do the same thing. I can't see, you know, even Bush and Reagan made unfortunate Supreme Court picks.
Yep.
And I'm looking at you, Roberts.
Yep.
Yep.
And Kennedy.
I still say the NSA has something on Roberts.
Somebody had something on him, that's for sure. So, you know, it's just, I don't know.
All right, can we talk about Space Raptor Butt Invasion? since we're on the tail end. Especially since like I was riding the elevator down to lunch on yesterday and just happened to go, oh, Larry Correa's back from his European tour. Let's see if he's updated his blog, and saw him say Space Raptor Butt Invasion. And I went, what the fuck is Space Raptor Butt Invasion? And so I Googled it and I came up with it and I went, okay, this is not something that I'm going to be reading about while at work. And then I promptly forgot about it until just before we started recording, Brita mentioned Space Raptor Butt Invasion. And so I've got an article up on this, and I still haven't had a chance to read it because I'm talking to you guys. So, Brita, tell me what Space Raptor Butt Invasion is.
Well, okay. I confess that the whole sad puppies and sick puppies Hugo Awards thing for the past couple of years running, I have tuned it out because it just smacks of so much narcissism and bullshit to me that I tuned it out. But Mike said to me today at dinner, he's like, did you hear about the Hugo Awards this year? I was like, oh no, what now? You know, it's like listening to the tales of like spoiled children, you know, it's like, whatever. He says, well, the people who were anti social justice warriors, I guess they were the sad puppies.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't even know.
The one that was the group that was started the first year by Larry Correa, which was just essentially Larry did it as a way to prove, which I actually think is the proper accomplishment. He's not doing it anymore because he's like, I won. I did what I needed to do. And I've got to say, this is very, very useful because, like I said, I would growing up, I would walk through the bookstores and the library and I would be leafing through the fantasy and science fiction things. And I would see the rocket ship, you know, gold embossed on the cover of such and such a book. Yeah. And I'd be like, Hugo
Award winner, you know?
Yeah. Hugo. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So this is good. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it now is to say, cause awards always suck. I mean, it's one of those like, you know, if you win an Oscar, it doesn't mean you're a fucking good movie.
Hey, Jennifer Aniston is the most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh, the People magazine.
What the fuck? Yeah. What?
Yeah, maybe 20 years ago.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. Anyway, never. So I guess the sad puppies decided to just skew the whole thing and go all out and choose the most diverse book possible. And they came up with, what is it? Space Raptor Butt Invasion.
Now, Brita.
It's a sci-fi book about gay sex with a dinosaur.
Is there not a genre of romance novels that involves dinosaur porn?
Yes.
I was completely unaware of this until you mentioned it, and
I wish I didn't know.
I'm still freaked out about it a little bit.
Yeah. It's a sub genre, I would say.
I guess. with emphasis on the sub.
I guess, yeah. Thanks. And so I just have this vision of being at work one day and having some science fiction nerd come up to me and, you know, ask to request butt raptors or whatever it is.
Could you get the dinosaur butt book for me? I can't find it in the stacks.
Like, I don't have enough problems. Come on, people. Just stop with the Hugo Awards already. Just stop. Either do it or just drop the whole thing. Because you're just beclowning yourselves at this point. Nobody takes you seriously at all. So it's all like nerd infighting. That's all it is.
Get over yourselves. The funny thing is that the Hugos have always been
rigged.
Well, rigged, but they're voted on by Worldcon members. And there's like maybe, you know, a couple of thousand of them.
Okay.
Ever. So, you know, I guess back when science fiction was something that serious people didn't read, and it may still be something that serious people don't read. When I was a kid, science fiction was relegated to those trashy books. In fact, I literally had more than occasion librarians tell me when I asked for science fiction of certain, you know, books or stuff, and they're like, "We don't have those trashy books."
Oh no!
Oh yeah!
That was like a million years ago, Alan.
Well, that was back in like the '70s. So
yeah.
Now they have all kinds of trashy books and don't think twice about it, but you know, it's still science fiction is a really bad rep of being like the trashy, you know, even today it's considered, you know, in a day when the multi million dollar, billion dollar movie franchises are all science fiction or fantasy movies of some sort. People still think of science fiction as this nerdy, trashy, waste of time thing.
By the way, this one ties it all together. I am actually on Chuck Tingle's Amazon page.
Is that the guy who wrote it?
Yes.
Please tell me that's a nom de plume. Is that not his real name?
Nobody actually knows who this guy is. Okay. So it is assumed that is a pseudonym.
Okay.
But he has a book called feeling the burn in my butt. Spelt Bernie Sanders. I wanted here just to look, and to be fair, like, because Brita was complaining about, like, I don't need any more of this shit. And I know that the Hugo nominee is only available on Kindle, but he does actually have some, he does actually have some books that are, that are, you can get in soft cover. So, wow. So you can get them on the interlibrary loan, Brita.
Great.
Oh, but you can also, I think this is only Kindle edition, Oppressed in the Butt by My Inclusive Holiday Coffee Cups. And it's got a picture of the red Starbucks cup next to the beefcake model.
Oh, God. Yep. Okie dokie.
Oh, man.
Man.
I have nothing.
So what you're saying is I should probably download this. Give a book report.
Oh, God.
Maybe it's our next squirrel report. book club.
Brita, actually, according to the Oppressed in the Butt by My Inclusive Holiday Coffee Cups, it says length 42 pages.
Oh, it's a novella.
Hey, it is. And, it's like and the
Space Raptor Butt Invasion of 38 pages.
Ooh. Oh, so it's like a short story, really.
It is, yeah. And it is Kindle Unlimited. So if we've got Kindle Unlimited, you can
for free.
You Alan? Can pound out all of his stuff.
Alan, you have Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah, but damn.
Come on!
It's 38 pages.
So you're saying I should take one for the show?
Yes. Lay back and think of England.
Oh, God.
And with that, I think we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, but seriously, Alan. Yeah, if you've got Kindle Unlimited, especially if you've got Kindle Unlimited, that means you must be a fast reader. So you can shit this out in like 20 minutes
or less.
Yeah. So shit this out in 20 minutes and tell me if it's worth the $3.
It's not. I can tell you that without reading it.
And though I must say I caved. And now now it's official. Like I know why I held out as long as I did. I'm reading the Grimnoir Chronicles. I just finished the second book.
The what?
And the Larry Correia's steampunk series.
Oh, that's really good.
It's really good. Again, this is why I did that.
What is it?
One of
the
those
dinosaur
like,
butt. What's the name of the book? Dinosaur butt.
Space Raptor Butt Invasion.
Oh, Space Raptor.
Just go into Amazon and type in Chuck Tingle and just go through.
Yeah.
Yes, if it takes you less than 20 minutes to bang out 38 pages, you could probably read his entire catalog.
I don't want to be on the record as having downloaded this on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
What are you, a homophobe? Jesus Christ,
no,
Alan.
Don't be so heteronormative, man. I don't want anybody to realize I have such bad taste. I have...
Except
I
you
don't mind
you're...
good porn. It's the... Oh my God, the third one down is something called Haunted Vagina.
You know this trend in
I'm
dinosaur
for my living billionaire jet plane.
This trend in dinosaur significant others is kind of trickling down into YA books, young adult books.
Oh, no.
Because just the other day I saw a book and it was in the young adult section and the title is Hot Pterodactyl Boyfriend.
Oh, no.
We have it on the shelf at the library.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know what it's about.
The final days of pounding ass.
But the author's name is Alan Cumyn. This is a young adult book. Come on, people.
It can't be a young adult book.
It is.
Oh, my God. Space can be a lonely place, especially when you're stationed by yourself on the distant planet Zorbus.
A buttception, a butt within a butt within a butt.
Oh, God. Are we sure this isn't parody?
I am positive it is parody.
Okay. It's not gay if it's a man and a dinosaur, is it?
Is it a boy dinosaur?
President Donald Loch Ness Trump pounds America's butt. Let me. I'm starting to see a theme here.
It's all about the butt. About the butt.
Specifically, okay. Dinosaur butt.
I gotta go.
Yeah, we're done.
Good show, guys.
Right. Hope y'all enjoyed this. We really went off the rails bad at the end, but we are.
Right,
we gotta earn that explicit rating somehow. So.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week.
Okay. Good night. We'll have a good one.
With Jay.
Have a good week
next week. And all right, talk to you guys later.
Thanks.
Bye.